Welcome everyone. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. I think we are ready. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. I think we should already start singing so that the devotees who are still on their way will know that we have started, but I'm grateful that you all have come and think it is, might be very interesting today. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Adi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Adi Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varada Ji Giri Varada Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varada Ji Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Janjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Janjana Yamuna Tira Vana Jari Yamuna Tira Vana Jari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Please chant one more time, a little louder if possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Deo Prabhu Parara Prabhu Parat Prabhu Parat Srila Prabhu Parat Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bo. Once again, I affectionately welcome all of you to this class called Relationship Makers and Relationship Breakers. Yes. So here comes a garland. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate on donkeys. There was a donkey who was carrying Jesus into Jerusalem, and people were lining the street left and right. They had taken palm leaves, these huge leaves, and used them as fans. There were trumpets and various other musical instruments used in ceremonial welcome. And Jesus felt highly uncomfortable. He thought, they are grateful to me. They're expressing gratitude, but I'm only a carrier of the message of my Lord, my God, and the people do like me because of the message which I carry. They should not worship me, and this worship really doesn't go to me. Now the donkey had another thought. He thought, well, finally someone recognizes my value. The whole town, in fact, has become enlightened by worshipping me with musical instruments used in ceremonial welcome and garlands. And it very, very joyously let loose a great braying sound. So I think all of us, when people say thank you to us, and I think it happens to almost everyone here in the room, they should know we are carrying a message. The glorification is not really going to us with all our human imperfections. It goes to the Supreme Lord. So I thought when we heard about the far-sightedness of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in bringing even donkeys to the farm, Govardhan Eco Farm, then I should tell my donkey story also. So, yes, what have you understood already about what makes a relationship nice? Let me hear what you know about this subject. Please talk from experience, because that has more powerful effect than just a theory. And please limit your answer to a sentence. What helps to build relationships? Yes, I see. I'm sorry. Love. When you have children and they see the love which you have as a mother for them, that helps.
Mm-hmm. Selfless relationship.
But that's very difficult, especially to love the people with whom we are close. Ooh, I think you're talking theory. What else?
Selfless relationship.
Another high ideal. Selfless relationship. Are you doing these? We were asking from practical experience. When are you selfless?
Yeah, so since I started earning something, so I did all this selfless service to like my family, whoever you know need to give, and society as well.
Acha.
That's been very joy.
And that has built the relationship. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. And please, everyone, don't become either afraid of me or offended by me. I'm trying to get the juices flowing in you. No?
Compromise.
Compromise. Yes, at times. You speak of marriage experience, isn't it?
Trust.
Trust helps relationship, yes?
Listening. Effort.
Uh-huh. It takes some effort to build a relationship.
Gifts.
Gifts. What do you give?
Flowers.
Appreciation. Mm-hmm. Acceptance. Tolerance. Yeah.
Good job on the morning.
Good japa in the morning helps you to build relationships. Wonderful. How will anyone argue against the good japa?
Understanding.
Understanding. What?
Respect.
Respect. Yes, I can't. I didn't hear. Show that you care, yes. Wonderful, you know many things about it, yes. Yes, sir, please speak.
Service.
Service? Did you say service? I'm. Yeah. Yes, you said. Yeah, yes.
Support, tolerance.
Good, let us switch it around. What breaks relationships? Have, from experience, please, again, not so much theory. We need, now we are talking about life, no? Not so much about philosophy at this moment. Philosophy will come, but now life, no?
Distrust.
Distrust.
Anger.
They feel it when you distrust them.
Expectations.
Expectations. What? Egoism. Not good japa in the morning. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Being selfish in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Communication. Less communication.
Maharaj, impatience as well.
Impatience can break a relationship. Wow, you really. I'm thanking you. I'm impressed. You have thought about this. Yes, Mataji. Misunderstanding. Yes, yes. When they're not clarified, that even grow, they can become like a cancer in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Rumor. Oh, we do this a lot. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Take someone for granted.
Take someone for granted and stop making an effort. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm impressed. I needed to just see if you have thought about the thing, so I will change my lecture a little bit. Why do you? Well, I don't need to have to say about things you know, but then I will talk about a hidden elephant in the room, something very touchy, but it will come at the end when you are a little bit prepared for the atom bomb. I remember that we had a communal meeting in Berlin, and Keshava Maharaj and myself addressed the community. Maharaj started out by observing that there's one thing in this world that can be the greatest source of happiness, and at the same time, this one thing which can give us the greatest amount of safety, of happiness, of confidence perhaps, can also be the greatest source of misery. And obviously, you know, in this circle, we all know we are speaking of relationships. When you have good relationships, there is one statement in the Shastra: you don't need money, because the people will take care of you. You don't need medicine. You do not need any support, because when the relationship is tight and good, all the support required for a human being can come from this one source, this relationship. I think we all know to build good relationships, some of you were mentioning it, it takes an investment of time and energy. Yes, you spoke of tolerance at times, patience, and then trust. There's a famous verse in our tradition which talks about six symptoms of love. That's how it is translated. But when you look at them very closely, you understand it's not symptoms of love, it's something different. But I would call them the languages of love for now. Is that this verse, Dadati Pratigrinati? I go quickly through these things because you know them. Giving and accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, and listening to the answers. It means really we sit together and ask about confidential matters, and the other person will describe his or her insight on these confidential matters. This is very, very wonderful. I do remember I have a few God brothers with whom, and we know we will meet each other maximum one time every 10 years or so, you know, really rare. And we know from the first beginning till the end, when we have to say goodbye, we after the customary how are you and describing about our life circumstances, we immediately go into these discussions where I ask questions which I feel I'm not confident to ask in other with others than these God brothers, and they will reply sometimes in a way which they don't wish that their answer appears on Instagram. Personalized, no, in-depth, also possibly misunderstandable if it is taken out of context and so on. My dear devotees, I want to inspire you. Find such devotees with whom you can talk more than the normal London pleasantries, you know, which your country is known for. British politeness is known for, no? But it is also translated sometimes as British superficiality, because one doesn't one just exchanges pleasantries and not more than that, which is easy. You can buy a book on pleasantries and you can then repeat the those formulas, you know, which are known to be good. There are communication books which can teach you about this if you're interested. And then, of course, what is the last form of exchange between devotees? Yes, I heard the word prasad, giving a prasad and accepting prasad. Now, there is a common feature behind this. And here it is the first part in this lecture where it might become interesting for you. Because these are very, very well-known subjects we have heard so far. They must be done with affection. They are actually only external manifestations of affection that nourish bhakti. They are, in other words, ways to express affection. So the foundation of these relationships is not giving gifts, is not even talking confidentially, is not giving and taking prasad, it's affection. Without this, these relationships are dead. I would like to give you an example from modern psychology and one example from, daily ISKCON life. There was once a psychotherapist who worked for 5 years with an autistic child. Do you know what is an autistic child? They are living in their own world. They can't communicate. They're very alone, often terribly misunderstood, yes. So the child wouldn't talk to him, nor would the child react to the efforts of the psychotherapist, until one day the therapist, he was desperate really, had an idea to evoke a response from this child who could not respond to the world around him. If any one of you can borrow me or lend me the pen, I will return it. So the child was sitting there, and the therapist knew, I have to now somehow make a connection, and I have to make the child respond, because if he responds once, then the dam has been broken behind which he is imprisoned, and then he can learn to speak and react almost normally. So the therapist threw the pen and said, "Give me back the pen, please." And to his amazement, the child, wrestling against conditionings which are hard to explain, reached out to the pen and gave the pen to the therapist. This was a breakthrough in helping autistic child. The therapist had tears in his eyes. He couldn't believe. And then he made other contacts. The child was free. It had gone out of its walls. So that same year, there was a conference where therapists who were trying to help autistic children or grown-ups, you know, all kinds of autistic people, to help, and they come together and discuss various methods, various breakthroughs in the research, and so on. It was an educational conference limited to only these type of therapists, and the therapist who had the success had explained his method, which became known and soon forgotten as the pencil therapy. All the therapists thought, wow, that's the method. I threw a pencil, it's rather inexpensive, and I say, please return, and that. So they tried it. There were 3,000 therapists on this conference. And they met again to discuss the success. How successful do you think was this?
Zero.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask this question if it would be more. Zero. Why not? It is not the methodology, ultimately, which helped the child. It was the relationship, and I would like to further say the relationship of love which had developed. And only then the method was of any use. Do you understand? Methods alone, techniques, even if they come from very exalted sources, are not as effective as when you do them with the appropriate mindset, the mindset of affection. I see very much in our society devotees come to me and they say, "Oh Maharaj, please forgive me if I made any offense." No, they say like this, "Please forgive me my offenses." Then I ask, "What offenses did you do?" You asked me to forgive offenses. And he said, "You're always such a complicated Maharaj." No, this is very simple. You asked me something, what did you do? "Oh, Maharaj, I didn't think when I came to you, I should not come to you." We have so many forms, so many rules, so many things we say. Only when they're said with affection or with consciousness, with being mindful, in a real way, can they be useful. Without it, it's empty words and so on. This is very important when you make relationships. I had a discussion with the temple president a few days ago when I one of the German temple presidents, and the president said, Maharaj, I have to acknowledge the service of the devotees. So I say, thank you. But they don't believe me. I said, yes. May I ask you a question? Do you mean thank you when you say thank you? Or do you just do it because that's how we are taught to do nowadays? By the way, in the times where I grew up, all services were done anonymous. No one wanted to be praised because they thought there's more benefit if I do them. But our culture has changed entirely, and I won't say one is better than the other. But he said, and I have also noticed when I go to a devotee and say something nice, he sometimes turns his back and goes away. Then I said, could it be that he believes that you cannot say something nice because you are not nice? Or you don't have any kindness in your heart? You have not thought? It's very important, especially for a spiritual movement, that we are connecting with these things. So therefore, I want to now go to my first difficult question. How can I love devotees? I must say, when I joined the movement, everyone came from a different country, from America. They came from a different culture. Most of them came from the hippie background and had a language which I found as uncultured, and I knew I would never have association with such people if it were not for one thing, that is Krishna consciousness. You might find that out also. Of course, many of you are Patels. I'm joking. I know little of you are Patels, but you come from the Gujarati background, and I know we have a lot of Masis here. I have learned also this part of the preaching, and for me it is wonderful. It is a cultural experience. And so on. But I want to ask you, although there may be similar cultural backgrounds, most of you would have picked perhaps other friends, and so on. I know there is something about last names in your culture. The Patels are looked down upon, and something I heard, but I may be wrong here. Let me not speak about something I don't know 100%. How can you appreciate devotees? I find this very, very important in my life, because I'm asked to love devotees, and then the other things I should do out of affection, no? The Krishna, appreciating them, saying gratitude, being grateful to them. I should be real, because the devotees do not like if they are dealt with according to formulas and according to... I have one reason for you. For the conditioned souls, this is from the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, Dulabo manusho deho dehinam kshana bhangura. For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at every moment. But I think, this is one member of the nine Yogendras, but I think that even those who have achieved human life, very rarely gain the association of devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. The Sanskrit is Vaikuntha, not Vaikuntha Priya, something like Vaikuntha Nath Priya. Yes, they are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. This is a reason. When you deal with devotees, it's important to understand they have two aspects, a conditioned aspect and a spiritual aspect. A little bit like a mango. A mango has a peel, which sometimes is brown or has brown spots and an unedible etiquette on it. But then there's a major part of the mango, which is the desirable fruit. So when I'm looking at devotees, then it is very important to understand in which way, with what lenses, what type of eyes I look. If you look with material eyes, you see the peel, the outside. Only if you look with spiritual eyes, you see the inside. I liked very much Gauranga Prabhu's answer to one of the questions at the end of his presentation, where he said we must learn to respond in a spiritual rather in a political way, you know, when we are dealing with each other. We too often look, in my opinion, at the external, the human thing. What hip-hop music did you like to listen? What have you learned in school? What is your opinion on this subject matter? And so on. How is someone dressed or not dressed? I'm speaking of dressed against my expectations, you know. Is he a woman or a man? We look too often on the external platform and have troubles with each other. And I think the English word is skibbles, when we fight a little. Squabbles, not skibbles, squabbles. we can only love the fruit. The peel is sometimes lovable when they come from our own background, have gone through the same school, speak the same language, use the same soap, and so on. But we must look at the inside. And here you will find every devotee as being very relishable or sweet. I know this when I'm on international travels and Gokushan and myself are in an airplane surrounded by the fragrances of modern culture. and then in the plane, someone with a bee bag enters. And we feel, wow, there's a devotee, you know. And he may be from another sangha, he may be from a Gaudiya Math, we don't know at this moment. We only see the bebek, you know. And he chants his rounds in every japa retreat. I would get down on him and say, yeah, this is not how to chant. But here I say, Prabhu, can I embrace you? You're chanting japa. You know, he's going inside trying to find his place. You know, so this is rare to meet devotees. The fact that we meet, that here are only devotees doesn't mean that this is common to be a devotee. You know, it's highly uncommon. And I want to tell you very confidentially, the misery which you are meant to get from relationships in a normal way, in a normal life, you now where you have joined the movement, you will get it from devotees, because that's the only human beings around with whom you interact. You have to get some misery. So if you take it only on the external platform, on the peel platform, on the labor platform, devotees will taste very, after some time, you will not like it any longer. I have heard the main reason why devotees leave our Sangha is because of broken relationships with devotees, of course. So, to love devotees, you need to really learn how to see them as what they are. Here's another verse for you. It is from the 11th canto. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple of a pure devotee should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. So Krishna offers himself to the spiritual master by taking care of him in some ways. And Krishna also offers himself to the devotees of the disciples. The same thing happens in our relationship. The principle is the same. Those who are dear to the Lord, when you can please them, the Lord becomes very, very caring to yourself. It is known. There was once a famous prostitute. She had a huge estate because she was practiced in the arts of deception, very highly trained. And one day it so happened that devotees who were on a yatra, they were going to some holy place, they saw here's a nice estate. We don't see anyone here. Let us just go there and spend the night. So the devotees went there. Soon they had taken out their shilas and worshipped them and made a very nice devotional atmosphere. Somewhere devotees were discussing about Krishna. They were on a yatra, they were in their best mood. Somewhere else they were cooking, putting some bricks on top of each other, some wood. So this prostitute was hiding in the palace. She looked from behind the gardenia, the curtains, and saw this lovely scene. You know, when devotees, it's so nice when you see them interacting in a wonderful devotional way. And her heart melted. Oh my God, I hope they don't see me and inquire who is the owner of this property. They might flee when they hear about my profession. And she just stood behind the curtain and looked all day at the devotees who were eating, some were resting, some were taking care of their children, some, you know, the nice devotional atmosphere. And in the end, she said, I want to give something to them. So she first of all needed to dress in a different way. Then she needed to take an hour-long shower to get all the fragrances off. And then she dressed in a modest way and came out with a huge plate of jewels and golden items. And she went down and trembling with fear that anyone would find out from where she has made all this money. She asked for the leader of the devotees who was identified and said, I'm so, so fortunate that you came to my estate. Can I offer you this plate of jewels? So the leader said, he's such a young lady, so wealthy, what are you doing? She said, please don't ask this question. I'm afraid to give the answer. No, said the devotee, you talk freely. We are worshippers of the one Lord, and the one Lord is kind to everyone. You say. Yes, said the lady. I'm practicing the art of deception. What does this mean? Express more clearly. So he wanted to know, so he said. He became very serious and said, I see your heart is moved by that little contact with all these wonderful devotees here. I will tell you one thing, I will not accept these jewels. We don't need, the Lord takes care of us. But what I will do is, I will go to Ranganath and tell the priests that you will come and offer a plate of jewels for Ranganathji's crown. You will do this? But what if they asked from where I got this money, and they are Brahmins, they are usually not so tolerant. I don't know, but the Lord, you have such devotional qualities, I can see. The Lord will accept you. So they brought, they continued their pilgrimage, eventually they reached, and this leader of the devotee said, here's some pilgrim who has gone with us, a young girl, she wishes to give a crown, jewels and diamonds to be used in the decoration of Ranganatha. Said the Brahmana, she's unusually young, how does she make such money? The devotee said, I will tell you the truth, but do not judge her. Her heart is of her outside, her peel is like this, her outside is like this, but inside she has love for the devotees. She is a prostitute. Oh, we can't accept it. Get her out. No, she is a devotee, said the leader of a do you believe in God? Said the devotees to the Brahmana. Yes, why? Let her go on the altar and give her jewels to Ranganathji. If he accepts, then who are we to judge? So there was a long discussion, but because the leading devotee was such an integral person, you know, saintliness spoke from every, you know, was coming from each one of his pores, she approached the altar with her plate. The Brahmana thought there would be a flesh now coming from Ranganath. But Ranganath started to say, and everyone heard it, come closer and give me your gift. So come closer? What does mean closer? He has to now step on the altar. Yes, the Lord had said. So she came close, she put the jewels down in a humble way with tears in her eyes. And it is described at that moment she disappeared into the form of Ranganath, who accepted her in his eternal kingdom. Yes. My dear devotees may appear from the outside in one way. Don't see the peel, see if there is a fruit. And then when there is, if there is something real, you can go by that. I want to now go to the relationship makers and breakers. I want to quote our Keshava Maharaj, who who spoke. I don't know, it's in one of his books about Woody Allen. Most probably he has told you already. Woody Allen is, what is he exactly? An American what? Actor? Actor and director. Woody Allen says, me and my wife drive in different cars, have different friends, different holidays, different daily schedule, eat at different times. We do everything we can to keep our relationship together. I know you would laugh. I also was laughing when I heard this and I made a note of this. We do everything to keep our relationship together. We keep as much distance as possible. I would have said, I don't know how, maybe Woody Allen just made a joke and didn't mean it, but if he meant it, I would have said, you have a very, very weak emotional bank account between them. It was Stephen Covey who came up with an idea, and I have modified it a little bit, of the emotional bank account. What is that? You, like a bank account, which can be in the black or in the red, you have with every person an emotional bank account. Either it's in the plus or in the minus. I think you say plus and minus. Depending on what the deposits, what you have invested in the relationship, and the withdrawals, where you have made mistakes or hurt, either intentionally or unintentionally a person. We have here something for you to follow along. I would like to speak about deposits in Vaishnava terms. First is always understanding the individual, where they come from. We will have our computer experts. This is a verse. How nice of you. But we need the... yes. Oh, maybe I should say it to the computer people. We need the slides where we have deposits. Maybe Nityananda Rai, if you are there, you can help them. The first thing you can do in a relationship which helps it to prosper and grow is to understand the individual, where they're coming from. I remember once there was a person who, in the morning, who came to the Cologne temple, and it was very early. It was 3 o'clock. We were just driving some to our next preaching appointment, and I started to preach to the person, and then I noticed he was really absent-minded, and I said, "Is this not good what I'm saying?" He said, "I'm just hungry. For two days I have not eaten. Is there something to eat here? I heard you are early up, and maybe you have something in the refrigerator you don't need. I'm so hungry." Oops. Thank you for telling me. Yes, we are good with food. We are, we have. And I told. So you need to listen before you talk. To the desires which the people have, to the interests, and also sometimes to the concerns. This is what they will say at the very end, but that is what really governs them the most, their concerns, their doubts, their fears. Hear what is not spoken, I would say. The second thing which is a good deposit is keeping commitments and promises. I remember I once had a preaching partner. He would drive, he would cook, he would do all the practical things. And at this time, we were really fully engaged, you know. There were only 4 hours of sleep, sometimes not even 1 hour of sleep. We were very, very engaged, and I was driving him very hard. I was a little older. I didn't have such an appetite like he, but he was young, and he had a fire of digestion which could burn a whole building. And I said, let's drive, you know, and you can eat while you're driving. We really have no time, and so on. Then I said, and I know I'm driving you hard, but we will go to Mayapur for the Mayapur festival. And then you will rest, you will swim in the Ganga, and you will be in the holy dam. So let us just have 3 more months of driving at heart. So the time for Mayapur came and went. What happened with Mayapur? My devotee, my partner said, I didn't intend to go to Mayapur. We have so much service to do. But you promised. There was a commitment. And 1 week later he came and said, please look for a new qualified driver. I cannot go on like this. And also you have broken my trust in you. You have not kept your promise. We will be going different ways. Perhaps in 10 years we will meet again. He's a good devotee, but I learned there. I don't know, this is not how you communicate in England, I know, but in Germany you communicate like this. I said, sorry, yes, I remember. Mayapur. Sorry. He said, I don't mind you preaching like anything. It is good. But you broke a promise. And I don't know what else you will do. When your word is not a word, when it doesn't mean anything, I don't know where any of this. This is not good. And he was right. Then there is the third point, attending to the little things. It's the small kindnesses which you do. These are all the things you don't have to do. You know, it is like when you have a guest, when there's a guest, you go with him to the door to say goodbye. You don't have to do it. You can stay for yourself. But these are the small kindnesses. Saying happy birthday to someone whom you know appreciates such words. No? Small kindnesses are becoming so big because it's the things you don't have to do. You do them out of affection. Fourth is showing personal integrity. Sometimes we talk bad about each other when the person is not there, and we talk good when he is there. Have you seen this? It happens a lot to people like us, older devotees. Everyone says to me always, oh, you're so nice, you're Japa retreat, you're this and that. And I now say, I'm interested in what you say behind my back about me. I felt what you just said was only a politeness. It was not meant. Better is you don't say polite things, and also not often the bad things, but say what you mean. One can immediately hear it by the sound of the voice. Showing personal integrity, honesty. And the fifth is, this is a hard one, apologizing if you have made mistakes. So there are These are investments. Understanding, keeping commitments, attending to little things, showing personal integrity, and apologizing for mistakes. There are also things on the opposite list. Understanding the individual, you could do a withdrawal by imposing on the individual and advising without ever having been asked. We heard this yesterday. Our fully informed Maharaj has said, one person had said, I gave so many advices for question, but there was never a question. I was never invited to do. Keeping promises is one, but breaking promises is another. This is the withdrawal. Attending to little things is a deposit. Forgetting to show that the other matters is a withdrawal. And if you do this too often, you get in the minus. Showing personal integrity is what you give, but being manipulative and lying and cheating to get your goals is a withdrawal. Apologizing for mistakes is a deposit, but I think we so often do the other thing, ignoring our mistakes, or even worse, defending our mistakes. No, 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 no. I meant it like this. So these are... I go a little bit fast through them because I admit I have taken them from a source, this Stephen Covey, but I have never seen anything better in regards to making relationships and breaking relationships. I want to make an exercise with all of you now. I've brought my little orchestra here. I hope it will give you some joy. I think if I asked you now to meditate, you will fall into a no brainwave situation because you're tired. So best is you turn to your neighbor. Please turn to your neighbor for a moment. I know there are some of you who never do these exercises. Please do it this time. You might discover something. Maybe some of you are a little bit withdrawn and you don't like to talk to others you don't know. Do it anyway. It will be very good for you. Maybe some of you are a little autistic. No problem. You turn to someone, it will help you to come out. Yes? I see some of you still not sure if you should take part. Others are running out of the room. Hare Krishna, the exercise is not talking to each other. The exercise is to talk about something with each other. I want you now to find a relationship where you feel you are in the plus because you have put a lot of deposits in. Now I know that it's sometimes you feel a little bit, if I say this now, the other person knows about whom I'm speaking And it may be one of the things that are a little confident. You know what I do? I transport the situation with a little tweak into another time and another place. For instance, I told you about the temple president from Germany. He's not from Germany. He's from another country. Because I don't want you to understand who that might be. Because it would be very, you know, this is not done to talk about confidential matters in public. So you can do the same. Yeah, it's better if you meditate, I understand. How is your alertness level? Is it good? Is it not good? It's so-so, isn't it? My intuition tells me this won't work. I am too overworked also to go into a deep meditation now. How do we do? No meditation. Let us just think. Is there anyone you can think of where you are in the plus? We will have a little thinking. I'm sorry, I really guided you in a very, very unexpert way. Should we try the meditation? Good, but then you will get the real deal. So sit straight. In case you have forgotten what that is, straight spine, roll your shoulders back to open your chest, bring your head a little back and a little straight like this. We want to increase the alertness and let us do a quick Dehadarana. Bring your attention to your feet. Some don't know how to do that, so just wiggle your feet a little, and then you will feel them. There is some life down there, no? This is your feet, in case you've forgotten. Bring your attention now up to your knees. You might rest your hands on your thighs. Okay, somewhere there are your knees. To your thighs. To your sitting bones. And relax. Move up your back, the back of your back, the behind, lower spine, upper spine. And now the belly, the chest, and relax. It's almost like giving this part of the body to the feeling of weight. As you move on, remain incredibly aware, almost like walking through your body and seeing your body not through a mirror from outside, but seeing it from inside. Your shoulders, arms and hands. Relax. Oh, I can feel You have not relaxed the shoulders. There's a lot of things you carry. And let it relax a little bit more. Yes, it should come towards the floor. The back of your head, front of your head, inside of your eyeballs, relax. Now go into your mouth with your attention, the tongue, the jaw, relax. Appreciate how your body is now totally relaxed, like a parked car, so to say. And you are free with your all of your attention to go to the next level. To the next level of the inside. Focus now your attention on your breath. We will do a long inhale, and on an exhale, chant Ram. So everyone, deep inhale. Two times more. Inhale. Request you now to envision a chair before you and invite a person with whom you have a difficult relationship. See them. See their facial expression. It may be a little strained, tense, or distant. No problem. And try to build now on proof the relationship. You could tell them something you want to tell them, but most probably the wisest thing is to ask them something, a question, and try to apply what you've heard, listening, not defending, and see if something comes up. For those of us who like quick fixes, which don't always work, but maybe that's all we know how to do, you can give presents also. Maybe if it's a carefully chosen present, it will do a lot. See what comes up. till now no person has appeared before you with whom you have a somewhat difficult relationship. Think of someone you have a good relationship with. And maybe think of a deposit you would like to do in that relationship. Those who wish to go further to the more than human dimension, think of your relationship with Krishna. Is there perhaps something you want to express? Perhaps a resolution, how to improve the relationship. Perhaps a takeaway from the many lectures you heard. You can rub your hands. This is very nice to get back to room awareness. Open your eyes slowly. Did you find this useful? Thank you. I think when we do this type of thing, we may not make all the steps. You can just sit and think about a relationship, and naturally you can see where you have made withdrawals perhaps, and where further deposits might be very, very good. It is something that helps you to sense, to become more sensitive. Hare Krishna. I have a watch, the wristwatch now. Oh my God. I think something will come up in the question and answer session. I will end here. I want to invite our Keshava Maharaj again. I must explain why I invite him and not all the other qualified. There are many qualified devotees here. The reason is that I want to invite Maharaj to come more often to Berlin, and I'm hoping that if we do things together, we will feel comfortable to preach together. So I must say I'm a little bit here selfish. I will request Maharaj to speak about relationship breakers. Amazingly, because that is what happens so often with us, and it makes life so difficult. And if we can become aware then we can also avoid these relationship breakers.
Can I speak for 10 minutes?
Yes. Like a TEDx talk.
TEDx.
Yeah.
My apologies, I was slightly late. We were just with the kids, so we were speaking about Srila Prabhupada. So I think we achieved our purpose. They were freshly inspired. The most inspiring thing was when I told them Srila Prabhupada also played football. And then I told them Prabhupada said, I used to be the goalkeeper. I didn't like to run. So they have fresh appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. Mission accomplished.
I know another person who has fresh appreciation, but I won't say.
So this is a very beautiful topic. Relationships is something that we're all dealing
with. I also was a goalkeeper for the same yes, for the same reason, actually. I felt uncomfortable to reveal my reason because I didn't want to appear as a lazy person, but then was I can follow Prabhupada in anything. Yes.
In the mood of confessions, I was also of the same disposition, so instead of playing football, I just decided to play cricket. So yes, this topic of relationships is it's an endless topic. We're dealing with this every single day. And no matter how much we hear about relationships, it always seems to come back with the same challenges, the same difficulties, obstacles. But I hope through this is very, very powerful, Maharaj shared, and giving us the background from Rupa Goswami. Yesterday, Gauranga Prabhu was, I think, responding to one question. And he was explaining that good association is association in which you get inspiration for Pancha Anga Bhakti. And any association where your faith in Pancha Anga Bhakti is increasing is good association. And when I heard that, I appreciated that a lot. And I would also take that one step further and say that good association is not just association that increases your faith in Pancha Anga Bhakti, but actually you can't do any Pancha Anga Bhakti without Sadhu Sangha. Although Sadhu Sangha is one of the Pancha Anga Bhakti, it actually holds a very, very special position. Because if we say one of the Pancha Anga Bhakti is Mathura Vas, to visit the holy places, but then the Bhagavatam will tell us, Janesha Vigyeshu Sa Eva Gokara. If you go to a holy place, but you don't associate with saintly people, then basically you miss the whole point. Nam Sankirtan definitely is Pancha Anga Bhakti, but how can you do Nam Sankirtan if you don't have Sadhu Sangha? We can chant by ourselves, but what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Eka ki amal, nahi payabal. Harinam Sankirtane. Alone, I have no strength to chant the holy name of Krishna. And therefore, here we're getting lots of strength. We're having ecstatic kirtans. It's nice in the kirtan when devotees get inspired to spontaneously dance. You can tell so much about their previous life before Krishna comes. All the dance moves come out. I saw a lot of garba moves coming out the last few days. Very nice. So in Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan is coming alive because Bahubir Militva Sankirtanam, when many come together and you chant, is powerful. Yes, we may say Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan is Pancha Anga Bhakti? Yes. But then Bhagavatam itself will tell us, Satam Prasangan, Mama Virya Samvido. It's very virya, it becomes powerful when you hear Bhagavatam with others, when you chant, when you listen together, discuss. And yes, we may say, Murti Seva, Pancha Anga Bhakti, definitely. But we generally worship the deities in a community. Everyone is coming, someone is singing a kirtan, someone is dressing, someone is making some other arrangement. In Vrindavan we hear about how Madhavendra Puri created a community of service around Gopalji, and that community of service was very, very pleasing to Gopal. So although Sadhu Sangha is one of the Pancha Anga Bhakti, actually if we look closer, it's at the very heart of it. Because you can't do any of the other Pancha Anga Bhakti unless quality Sadhu Sangha is there. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said very, very clearly, if you think you can do this alone, you're mad. No one can do this alone. We must do it together. And so learning how to actually connect deeply, and all of us see it. We live in the same community, we live in the same temple setup. But factually in our communities it's so difficult. Devotees don't get along with each other. This is the reality. One devotee once said to me, Srila Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate. So you should cooperate with me. I said, I don't know if that's exactly what Prabhupada said. So there's this sense in which it's so difficult to get along. Our relationships break down so easily in the devotee community. Think about how many devotees are there that we would prefer to avoid. If, by Krishna's mercy, hopefully I can avoid them today. It's very, very sad actually, and something which we need to work on. Dhritarashtra, it said that at the end, after Vidura spoke to him so much, and finally he renounced, then the Bhagavatam tells us he attained the absolute. But actually the commentators say that Dhritarashtra never actually attained pure love for Krishna, because there was one block remaining in his heart. And what was that? He still had some animosity towards the Pandavas. Still imprisoned by those emotions, that space in his heart was still hijacked by some negativity towards a devotee, and therefore pure love for Krishna could not come about. So somehow, how to let all of that go? I just came back from South Africa, and we did many programs where we also went to Nelson Mandela's house. And Nelson Mandela tells that famous story of how when he came out of the prison, a devotee offered the Bhagavad Gita to him. And he said, no, I already got it. There was another political captive in the prison, Robin Island, from a Hindu background, and he gave me the Gita. And the devotee asked him, what did you learn from it? And he said, I learned the day I walked out of prison, if I didn't simultaneously give up my bitterness, my anger, my frustration, my negativity towards the perpetrators of my suffering, even though walking away from prison, I'd still be imprisoned by my own emotions. So how many of us feel like that? So this art of how to actually connect deeply with the Vaishnavas and not harbor any negativity towards anyone, this is a great art. I won't speak too long, but I'll just speak one thing based on what Maharaj spoke about, which was the six loving exchanges of Rupa Goswami. This is very, very scientific, very, very beautiful. But often I wondered, why these six things? Because it's like a little on first glance, it seems a little bit random, you know, like offering prasad, you know, like gifts, revealing the mind. My imperfect mind always needs a reason behind everything. So I was thinking, why? And one devotee was giving a class, I can't remember who it was now. But he had an interesting reflection on this, which helped me to understand this. And he explained it like this. He said the first two items, dadati pratighranati, giving charity and accepting charity, this represents loving people. I'll explain more in a second. He said the next two, guhyam akhyati prachati, this means understanding people. And then bhunte bhojayate cheva, giving prasad and receiving it, this represents helping people. And so the way he framed this was in this way, that these six loving exchanges, what they basically encompass, the first two, is that if you want to have a relationship with someone, loving people, you have to express your love. You have to actually express it in tangible terms. And the most basic way in which we express love in this world is by giving gifts. But love can also be expressed in many ways, through kind words, through empowering arrangements, through providing certain facilities or whatever it may be for someone. But the basic point is, in a relationship, loving people means expressing your love for someone. And oftentimes we may have some appreciation for someone in a relationship, but we don't express it. We don't say it. We don't show it. And then he said the next two, guhyam akhyati prachati, means revealing the mind, hearing someone. We have to understand people. Maharaj talked about hearing the unheard. So we have to be able to really understand someone's heart. We have to understand the hidden story that they don't tell us. We have to try to understand what's causing them to be and act and function in the way they're functioning. In his leadership book, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj talks about how behind every emotion that someone expresses is a deeper hidden story that we're not seeing. So for example, if someone in their life is seeking a lot of attention, the hidden story is that in their life, in their upbringing, probably they were never given appreciation. Or if someone was looking, it looks always for sympathy, then it means in their life they never really found anyone who empathized with them. Or for example, if someone in their relationship is always looking to dominate, the hidden story is that they were probably exploited when at some point in their life. And so understanding people, guhyam akhyati prachati, really means that you can't deeply connect with someone unless you understand the reasons why they are the way they are now. And that takes time. But what we often do is, before we've understood people, we already write them off. And then there's no progression. So, understanding people. And then he says, bhukte bhojayate cheva, this represents helping people. Because the most basic thing you need in your life is food. So therefore, bhukte bhojayate cheva means giving people what they need. And practically assisting people in building their life. And therefore, being empowering, being encouraging, being appreciating, and basically helping people in very, very tangible ways. This is also a foundation of the relationship. So basically, we could summarize these six loving exchanges as loving people, understanding people, and helping people. And if you do these three things, definitely the bond between two people will grow. And then you can say the relationship breaker, just like we do here, is basically the exact opposite. When we are in a relationship but we don't express love, even when we have it, we don't express it. we're in a relationship where we don't seek to understand, but we are very judgmental. And in a relationship where we don't actually give any tangible help or empowerment or encouragement or appreciation, but we sometimes do the very opposite, then this breaks relationships. So as we look closely at all of these principles, we can see that what we're looking at here is very, very useful, because it helps us to see it in a very, very practical and modern framework. But ultimately, this has all been described by our Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, very, very beautifully. So this verse of six loving exchanges has so much deep insight and psychological substance to it. And therefore, these are real keys to connecting in a deeper way. So I think we have 15 minutes left. I shouldn't speak too much more than this. And should we open up for questions?
Yes, yes, and thank you very much for this very practical insight. Yes, please, now we can go into the question and answer sessions. I saw Priya Kishori. I give too many names, so I... Yes, you. And I saw a devotee there. And there. I saw here a devotee. Yes, or was it Yannick? Yeah. And here is also, yes. So we have four. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Maharaj, for the class. And thank you, Krishna and Maharaj, for those encouraging words. Maharaj, I just wanted to ask that you said that by doing these things it makes us more sensitive. But when we have been exposed to so many things that make us desensitized, how do we bring ourselves back to being sensitive? Because there might not be any trust in going back into those relationships again. So how do we...
In the same relationships, yeah.
If we want to, because to move forward we need to forgive, we need to do all those things, but how do we bring ourselves back into doing that? To trust again, to build those relationships.
Yeah, I do understand. This is a very difficult question to answer, because there is not one way, really. I think you need to always start from the beginning and understand. Standing the other person, and then you might think, that's why. I remember, maybe I can quote again Keshava Maharaj, because he has these good examples. There was this math teacher who taught a child mathematics, and he said, okay, so 1 + 1 is... The child didn't know. So one apple and one apple here. How many apples? 2. Good. And just to know, one orange plus one orange. How many orange? 3. 3? Here, 2 apples, one apple, another apple. How many? 2. Okay, now listen. One orange and another orange. Same scenario. How many? 3. And the teacher thought, was there something wrong with this child? So then the child explained, I have one orange in my lunch bag. This is our Maharaji. I'm just repeating. So if he would have understood before, then he would see the high intelligence of the child. No? Now he was. So when I did my exercise, you know, I guided you in an exercise. I first said to the person who was before me, could you, I'm very serious and genuinely convinced we can make our relationship at least, you know, that it's a, that there are no bad feelings, but perhaps I have never taken the time to understand what went wrong or what where you are disappointed in me. Kindly say it, no? And then I heard a lot, and it made a lot of sense. I had too many withdrawals. So I think to understand first. But I want to say there are some relationships which, as human beings, they are for some short time. I call them the lift relationships. You're kind to everyone with whom you are in the lift, but it is understood when the doors open, you might not see each other again. So there are such relationships, and to try to make them into something else will be just, you will fail, and the person might be annoyed even. But we should never have bad relationships, you know. We should make them to a neutral, at least neutral, yes. But there are such relationships also. And if you run behind a relationship which has its time and which is now, then it might not work, and you create just stress for everyone, for yours, for the person, and for yourself. But otherwise, understand. When you understand humans, you will find out they're mostly like yourself. You know, not so different. Yes, good. There was other. I think since Gauranga asked the question, we have to give prominence. You. No, Gauranga Prabhu is one of the lecturers. He is.
So, this question is asked by many devotees and outsiders also when we present on relationships and all. That if all of you prioritize relationships so strongly, then why in the history, like the Gaudiya Mutt relationship issue and the court case, and even today, there are many other court cases going on where, you know, ISKCON's money, which is obtained from the public, is spent on court fees. So, how do we respond to that?
Work in progress. Vandivari, actually one person once came and he was saying, I come into your communities and your guys are always fighting with each other, this, that. He said, I don't understand why, you know, in a spiritual community you guys should be all, you know. He said, for me it's miraculous why you guys are all spiritual and you're fighting. And Vandivari said, it's a miracle we're still together.
What did you say? It's a miracle what?
That we're still together.
Acha.
So the person said, why? He said, look around. We have so many different cultures here. We have so many people from so many different backgrounds. Where in the world will you find such a variety of people in one place? One time we were in a brahmachari class and the speaker said, look around you. Would you be friends with any of these people if it wasn't for Krishna consciousness? So we, in that forum, we looked around and we were like, probably not. But here we are. So sometimes there, definitely for ISKCON, we can say that we are a very varied movement, so many cultures, so many different, you know. So that creates social friction sometimes, even with something like humor. It's like, you know, Indian humor and British humor is very different. Then you have Wembley humor.
Yeah.
So the way people act, like when you're in a management meeting, if you're from a Western background, you tend to be very straightforward. You just say it like it is. But Indians, they never do that. They always go round and round. You know, they meet after the meeting. So an Indian person sometimes, when they look at a Western person, just say it. They think, no culture. Just speak like that. How can there no culture? And a Western person can look at an Indian and say, oh, these guys are so diplomatic, never straight. Why did they never speak their mind? They always go round and round. Because we have such different cultures. You know, like when a British person says in a meeting, that's an interesting idea. Basically what they're saying is, you're completely mad, it's never going to work, and don't even try. You know, so we don't understand each other's cultures, and therefore there's a lot of discord. So I think in ISKCON we suffer from that a little bit. We have to really understand each other better. Lot of variety. In the Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself talked about why there was quarrel. He himself said in the Bhag Bazaar there will be a fire in the month. And he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took princes and he made them into paupers. And I've taken paupers and I've made them into princes. He said, because I've taken Wundi Sim and now we put them in an opulent temple. So where there's money, where there's position, where there's popularity, where there's prestige, in any forum, even in a religious organization, when that comes, the tendency for there to be discord is always there. So, yeah, definitely there are problems. In any place where humans gather, there will always be difficulties. And therefore, ISKCON and spiritual organizations are not immune to those weaknesses as well. But we can also see that there are communities, there are relationships, there are incredible examples of devotees functioning together with incredible selflessness and achieving amazing things and establishing such wonderful... and we have those communities around the world which are also displaying that. So I guess we just need to work on expanding those islands of success and expanding them further. These are some books. Maharaja,
I have no further you know, when the subject, yeah, it's humans will always be humans. That is my you know, old people, they are not so idealistic. What to do? I have no further insight. Yes. In the back, I saw in the back. Please, Prabhu, I cannot see you very clearly. So,
Hare Krishna. Thank you for an amazing class. I really took so many notes from today. My question is around forgiveness. So, it's a really tricky topic. And I just wanted to understand from you, how can you sincerely, from your heart, forgive someone? I recently had an example of this with a family member. Now being in Krishna consciousness, I thought, I need to forgive this person. So I thought in my head I forgave them, but when I met them next time, there was something in my heart which was scratching. And again, it happened again, and it happened 3 times. And it's still there. So how do I clean that from my heart, that scratching of forgiveness?
How wonderful. Thank you for being so outspoken. That's not Indian. You Hare Krishna. Well, I can tell you a method which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has applied. There were two sannyasis in one math who had a very, very tense relationship because they had done things which hurt, by which the other was hurt, mutually, both. And they could not forgive, they could not create a clean slate over their history. And it became a problem because these were leading people. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked them to come. He welcomed them, he gave them seats, and he said to the sannyasi, we know that there is a tense relationship and it seems you can both not let go, you cannot forgive. Please now, I request you, Sannyasi A, say something which you can appreciate in Sannyasi B. Oh, they're very difficult. Well, he eats at least vegetarian prasadam, you know. Good. Sannyasi B, is there anything you can find of any genuine value in the other person? Well, this guy, he used the toilet of the monks, you know. He is in the same building as the devotee. Oh, good. And then it went back and forth. And as the exercise continued, you know, each one had to say something. Oh, I appreciate that he sleeps in the temple. Ah, yeah, I can appreciate. He actually believes in God. And so on. It went with the, you would say, the lowest common, please, Maharaj, you're good with words, nominate and denomination. Yes, the most common. And it went higher. So I have taken great instructions in this. There were people in this life, I believe everyone has to get his due share of suffering from and it will be also in a devotional community, the share has to come, so devotees will give you the share. I have always tried to see and respond in a spiritual way. Oh, they are believing in Krishna, they sing the same bhajans, and most probably they are upset with me because they think I'm a danger to the movement for Krishna consciousness. So that's why they are like this. So they want to protect the movement. And at first I must admit it was a theoretical exercise to find something of value and good. But as I continued this throughout my life, I must tell you it worked so much that I could forgive even those who did things which were really, we say, under the belt, you know. It was boxing under the belt. No gentleman would say or do such things as these persons did, but it worked. Also, you have to learn to not see yourself so serious. Do you know that in this room there are 480, if all of those who have registered are here, most probably they are not, let us say 400 people who are in the same room and who understand the lecture totally different from you. There are 400 different understandings. When I gave out my first meditation CD, people came in the to me with responses they had purchased. We had, and one person came with glowing light, and they said, "I purchased your meditation CD, and as a result, I could sleep like anything. First, my ego was hurt. What? You are meant to come to heightened states of awareness by this. No, I could sleep. And I remember my notorious smile froze for 1 hour. You know, I just, what did he say? Did he want to hurt me or what? And then I understood for him, the greatest achievement after spending perhaps sleepless night was finally he could sleep. He was thanking me with tears in the eyes. It was not an offense, it was a genuine appreciation from his situation. So let us not take ourselves too serious. This is the disease of modern life. We are so self-absorbed in our view. It's only one. It's not the absolute view. It's only one of many possibilities. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. No, we have. It's look. Oh, my wristwatch has. See, for me, my wristwatch is 10 minutes to 11. And we have time. I see it like this, you know. It has stopped, you know. You never know when these are old ones. You have to wind up. And Keshava Maharaj says, no, Maharaj, it's 10 minutes past the time, you know. So we have different views. Thank you very much, by the way. And wait, before you clap. Please, my dear everyone, I have a revolutionary suggestion as a follow-up of this mutual class. Please try to put a deposit in one of the relationships where you think it would be good. It could be that you bring some prasadam from here to when you go to London and give it to someone, no? With some genuine feelings. And see how everything changes. It will be mystical for you to see how these things, and I would recommend you, we can maybe ask the computer knowledgeable devotees to put this, what is it called, deposits and withdrawals on, and you can make a snapshot with your distraction machine. Yeah, with your mobile telephone. I'm sorry, I always have the wrong names for everything. So, Hare Krishna, that's all.
Thank you very much to Sachinanda Maharaj. Sachinanda Maharaj is timeless personality. So we're so greatly fortunate to hear from him. So now just the schedule going forward, so we have prasadam now. At 3 o'clock we'll continue with the workshop. So one thing too, I got feedback from the workshops. Devotees were so inspired and they really, really got a lot from it. And I think what the speakers are inspired to do today is take the subject matter deeper and further. So if you came to the workshop yesterday and you found it interesting and you found it engaging, please don't think that you can't come again today because you've already heard it. It's actually going to go further and build further. So if you found those topics, I think they're very important topics. You know, we talked about how to reach out to a diverse audience and fulfill the glory of Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to open the doors of ISKCON to everyone. We talked about being empowering to all members of our community and especially Srila Prabhupada's interactions with the ladies. And remember, that seminar is open to everyone. So everyone can and everyone should hear of Srila Prabhupada's very encouraging and empowering qualities. So we're very fortunate that Madhavi Sharp has come to share that with us. Gauranga Prabhu again will be sharing with us more about studying Shastra, and Radhika Ranjan Prabhu with his very successful kirtan programs. You can learn so much about how to begin such a thing wherever you are in the country. That would be very wonderful. Myself, I'll also be there from 3 o'clock if anyone wants to drop in. At 4:30 we'll have something very, very special in the room where I'll be. We're very fortunate, so many great souls have been walking into our assembly, and my apologies, we've not been able to invite and welcome every single person. We'll try to do that this evening. But one very, very wonderful Vaishnava who's come here is His Grace Patri Prabhu. Please, Patri, could you stand up? I don't know how many devotees know Patri. This is Patri Prabhu. He's a very, very wonderful Vaishnava. Patri Prabhu has been preaching and serving in Nepal for, I think, over 3 decades, if I'm correct. And he's a wonderful, wonderful ambassador of Krishna consciousness. He also speaks Hindi very, very beautifully. And he goes to many, many different forums to share Krishna consciousness in dynamic ways. We're very fortunate that he's come here to visit us here in the UK, and he'll be sharing some of his insights on community and friendship and how to successfully deeply connect with others. So at 4:30, if you'd like to hear Patri Prabhu speak, then please do come over to the I think it's called the Howden Suite. And that would be very nice. And then please join us for the evening. We have an action-packed evening. This evening, we have a drama.
Wow.
I think most of us in the drama haven't actually rehearsed anything yet. But something will happen. It will be dramatic one way or the other. Gauranga Prabhu is working on the organization of this one. We still have some work to do here, definitely. So we'll have a drama in kirtan and other things. Thank you very much, everyone. Jai Shri Prabhupada.